Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And by the way, here's a bizarre little twist in the presidential nomination battle. Just coming across the wire, Dateline Las Vegas, three Republican officials are telling the Associated Press that Donald Trump intends to endorse Mitt Romney's presidential bid. Trump plans to make the announcement this afternoon at his casino hotel in Las Vegas. This is a surprise development because Newt Gingrich had informed close advisors last night that he had expected to win the real estate developer's support, and that had gotten into the news in the last news cycle. So these GOP officials spoke on the condition of anonymity so as not to preempt Trump's announcement, but they did. Three Republican officials telling the AP that Donald Trump intends to endorse Romney, not Gingrich as expected, at his casino hotel in Las Vegas this afternoon. And it's Trump. It's a sideshow, but there it is. The discussion that we just had with William Shawcross about war crimes and torture and morality is complicated enough among us grown-ups. How would you teach that controversy in the public school system? Well, don't look to Arizona for a model of teaching different versions of history. The Tucson school system is all inflamed right now over the shutting down of its Mexican-American studies program. We'll talk about that situation and its implications for teaching anything controversial with NYU education professor Jonathan Zimmerman. He is also the author of Whose America? Culture Wars in the Public Schools, which was published in 2002 by the Harvard University Press. Professor Zimmerman, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. Good to be here.
What's happening in Tucson?
Well, what's happening in Tucson is that Arizona passed a law that essentially, a judge said, prevents ethnic studies from being taught. The language of the law says something like, "You can't teach a subject or a course that singles out a certain group or that promotes resentment towards a certain group."
That language is in the law. Resentment
exactly.
Towards any race or class of people. Nothing
Precisely.
May be taught that fosters resentment towards any race or class of people.
Right, right. And an administrative law judge decided that an ethnic studies course that seems to be taught primarily in Tucson was in violation of this law.
Toward whom was it creating resentment?
Well, I think allegedly it was creating resentment towards Anglos or white people among the mostly Hispanic kids who were in the class. I think that's the allegation.
From what you can tell, was the class being taught as an act of indoctrinating children into a point of view or an act of understanding history?
Well, that's the question. And I should tell you that it's very much an open one because, like a lot of people who live in New York, I haven't been in a classroom in Arizona. I have, however, seen the curriculum of the ethnic studies course, and I could tell you that in print I've been critical of it, not because I don't believe in ethnic studies and not because people in Arizona and across America shouldn't know about the Hispanic experience, because of course they should. But my fear actually was that in some ways the ethnic studies class was a mirror image, in a bad way, of the regular curriculum insofar as each of them are trying to teach a point of view rather than allowing kids or encouraging kids to come to their own.
Well, not only was the program suspended, but some books that were considered inappropriate were removed from the classroom, including Rethinking Columbus, The Next 500 Years, and Occupied America. And some teachers claim that they were advised against teaching Shakespeare's The Tempest because of its racial themes. So
right.
What happened there, and how did works such as these tie into the issue of immigration, which seemed to be the focal point?
Well, look, I think that we should step back a minute and we should look at kind of what history instruction is, especially in that part of the world. I mean, let's take the Mexican-American War, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a war in which the United States added what's now California, Nevada, and it added big swaths of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Indeed, it added one-third more land than it had before. What's taught about that conflict in Arizona? I would imagine that in most history classrooms, it's taught, quote, as a fact, and it isn't really critiqued. That's despite the fact that there were plenty of people at the time who condemned it, including, of course, Henry David Thoreau, who spent a night in jail to protest it, and also a young Abraham Lincoln when he was in the House of Representatives. Having looked at Occupied America and some of the other courses, some of the other materials used in the curriculum in ethnic studies course, I would question whether those kids are really engaged in a critical dialogue about this episode. I would suspect, although of course I cannot be sure, but based on what I've read, I would suspect that instead of actually being asked to evaluate this, what they're being told is that this was a terrible conquest. This was an unjust appropriation of land and culture, which incidentally it may have been. But of course, it's not my job as an educator to tell these people what the Mexican-American War is.
Why would you jump to that conclusion, though, rather than wonder if books like those, alternative histories, are being used as texts to foster conversations about an American point of view about the Mexican War, a Mexican point of view about the Mexican War, and kind of synthesize some complex educational truths?
Look, they could be, and I hope they are. And I want to make it absolutely clear that, you know, I don't actually know what's going on in those classrooms. And whenever you're talking about education, you should always use that caveat, right? Mm. But I do know what's being used in the classroom, and those books have a very specific point of view. Now, that's fine. Indeed, that's laudable. But the key is for multiple points of view to be shared, for deliberation to occur, and again, for the adults, rather than changing people's minds or telling people what to think, to encourage them to think. And based on the Occupied America and the Columbus book, if that's what's being taught and only that, as, quote, the right answer about the Mexican-American War and everything else, it actually repeats the error of the regular curriculum rather than corrects it.
So I think this goes to a question of the purpose of education or of social studies classes at very least. Is education for teaching patriotism? Do you want kids to necessarily come out with a positive view of their country? Is it for building understanding among groups? Is it for teaching the facts and just the facts? Is it for complicating our easy patriotism if history is more complicated? You must have thought about those questions.
Absolutely. And it seems to me the fundamental role of our schools, and especially our social studies classrooms, is to teach people how to be citizens. And a citizen is somebody who can and must analyze multiple points of view and arrive at their own. That's the job of the curriculum, especially the history curriculum. Now, the problem is that in most of our classrooms, it appears, we don't use history to do that. Rather than presenting multiple points of view, we present a single one and pretend that it's the only one. And that's anathema to democracy. You don't come out of the womb being able to weigh different points of view, deliberate about them, and come to an opinion. None of that is natural. That's all learned.
Are you more concerned that ethnic studies is going to land on the wrong side of that than traditional studies? When I was growing up, I would say that I was taught propaganda, though they never thought it was propaganda, never intended it to be propaganda, but I learned Manifest Destiny without any real respect to what the Indians' point of view was.
Right, right. That is propaganda. That's a singular point of view. And I would go farther and say that any singular point of view is propaganda, right? The great secret that we won't let the kids in on is that adults disagree. That is the great secret we won't tell them. Of course, they know it anyway, really, okay? But we put on a dog and pony show to try to make them think that we don't. That's what a textbook is, by the way. A textbook is a monument between covers. It's a trick. It's an artifice that both, I think, visually and textually tries to communicate the idea that we've got all this figured out, and here it is, friends, mm-hmm. right? In mm-hmm. 600 pages, mm-hmm. this is the whole truth.
Declarative
now,
sentences.
Right, right. And the quote truth that you were taught about Manifest Destiny is a highly contested one, okay, and should in no way be presented as the singular truth. But at the same, at the, in the same breath, the idea that the Mexican-American War was solely one of conquest, was entirely mm-hmm. unjust, had no either reasonable causes or reasonable outcomes, if that's presented as a singular truth, that's propaganda as well.
Yeah. Alejandro in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Except for the last sentence of the speaker, I agree with everything he said. Because what I think, what the last thing he said does not apply to Texas. And I wanted just to put in some reality. I lived in Manhattan since 1942, but I'm a Chicano. Don't ask me how I got here. It's a complicated story. But
I'd like to know, but I think it's for another day.
That's for another year. Okay. If you draw a line between Corpus Christi, which is about 150 miles north of the Mexican-U.S. border in Texas, all the way to San Antonio, and up from San Antonio, north of El Paso to the New Mexico border, and then much of New Mexico, not eastern, but most of, not extreme west, but in the middle of the by the Rio Grande Valley, all the way up to Southern Colorado to the San Luis Valley.
Real quick, Alejandro, I need to get you to the point.
You have a population that's 80% to 90% Mexican-American and Spanish-speaking. And that's part of the reality. And in Arizona, for about 50 miles north.
And they, but I'm sorry, because we're over time. But therefore what, in terms of the way history is taught?
The reality is you have to look at this. There isn't another population to give another view. In other words, you don't have neighbors who can give you a different view. There is a monocultural community within the confines of Anglo-America.
But whether that's true in an all-white suburb in Westchester or the areas that you're describing, isn't it the responsibility of all people to try to teach history in a multicultural way?
I agree with the speaker, as I said. Mm-hmm. But it's not just all white. What if it were all Jews from Bessarabia, or all Irishmen yeah. from all people descended
right.
from
you have
Irishmen.
To look outside.
It's a huge swath of our territory, which is populated by people who are descended from Mexicans, sometimes immigrants, most of the time immigrants. But
and forgive me, I'm going to cut you off. Please call us again. But we're completely out of time for this segment, and I want to thank Jonathan Zimmerman, Professor of Education and Department Chair of History at NYU, for having it with us. Do you want to give us just a very last quick response to Alejandro?
Yeah, very quickly. Everything he said is true, but I would object to the implication that it's more important for a Chicano kid or any other kid to know that truth. It isn't. Everything he said is true, and it is a part of our collective past, which is another reason why I object to a separate ethnic studies course. Everyone should know what Alejandro said. And in some ways, we let the regular curriculum off the hook when we segregate or even ghettoize those truths in a separate ethnic course.
Thank you for joining us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute.